Champion Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday, except holidays, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. I am the host of the show, Inside the Inner City. Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, or MP, or Governor, is my nickname. And it's just a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful station. And I also love callers who call in. And they are actually my co-hosts. And they do a tremendous job, especially my boy, Papa. Boy, Papa, you're the good. You know, Papa was inciting. Exciting some type of conspiracy theory, but he does a very good job. To all our callers, you guys just make the show very interesting. And to all the listeners, I mean, it's quite amazing to see how many people listen to the show. It's amazing. People say they can't wait to Friday just to listen to the show, especially your input and my input. And we really knocked the nail on the head. So I'm very, very appreciative and very respectful for each and every one of you who listen and who call in, and that we always have a good conversation that doesn't end up with rowing or disrespecting one another. It always is a good conversation that we have, you know, and that's what we want to do on Inside in the City. Despite we talk things that affect us on a daily basis, don't care how serious, we always try to explain it and have conversation that can help solve the problem, not escalate the problems even worse. And we try to all those in authorities and all those in authority as well, you know, not to bash them. We speak about them if they do something wrong in that instant and trying to defend what is wrong in the country. And we as citizens know that, we the citizens know that what we see with our eyes and what we have gathered over the last 50 plus years in the country, that, you know, it's not worth defending. And we want the truth, and we represent truth. Many of the callers represent what is actually true in the country. And, you know, we're not against the authorities, but we know that it's a systematic system in place. And we're trying not to break it. We're trying to bring transparency and honesty where we can live on a level of, where we respect one another by the rule of law and how it's governed, and make sure it's governed fairly in the country. And it's been governed unevenly for so long in the country that everything that we've been talking about, that everything that everyone else has been talking about, everything that's been hiding in the dark has come to light. And now we are trying to fix it as much as possible. And we still have the powers to be still, you know, trying to brush it off. But we know as citizens that we have a problem. And I'm glad that we didn't sit by and allow it to continue. We use their words, we speak on it, and then we got some evidence, and then the government itself is admitting some of the irregularities in the system that needs to be fixed, that has been affecting us, and it's affecting us in a way from the healthcare, from the employment, and from the way our country our run. So it's going to be a very interesting show today. I'm going to play some clips, and then we're going to talk about the election disclosure. We're going to talk about a little bit about Sabas, a little bit about Rick Fox. We're going to talk a little bit about the deputy prime minister and the $13 million increase in his, what he has increased. And I like to explain it, the $13 million increase in wealth. I like to explain that as well. I want to talk about some of the candidates who are now rectified going into the general election, how some of them achieve their wealth. You know, to show you on both sides, it is a practice. You might not see it as a practice, but it's a practice, and try to explain it as best as I can, and then you guys can chip in. But before we begin the show, I'd like to do a community announcement to the U.S. Embassy and also to the Navy of the U.S. Under the leadership of Commander Lag. They were down here today through Hay Street, Lenahan, Bahamas, opening, pre-opening of the Culinary Kitchen. It's an effort to bring empowerment. We're bringing cuisine, cooking to the community for the elder residents in the community. We're not just helping the young. We're also providing the elders in the community to be a part of the community so that they don't feel left out. You know, we want to make sure they stay active in doing so. Lenahan has partnered with the U.S. Embassy, also Sandals Foundation. They are partner with a hydroponic system that we are now installed in a new facility. It's not completely finished, but our construction work is going on, and we should be finished at times the end of the year. But we do a pre-launch. We had the Edmonton Foundation also from the U.S. They brought about 60, 70 volunteers from the U.S. along with the U.S. Embassy. Again, Commander Lag. I want to give a special thanks again to the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Embassy, especially to Your Excellency Herschel, Ambassador Herschel Walker. And they were down there for a few hours. We did a pre-launch. He was walking the street. He talked to so many kids. He talked to everyone in the community. Very, very sociable. Gave a lot of word of advice. He talked about he liked what we're doing in the Grand Slam community when it comes to how we are in poverty by building a village. He talked about the importance of the village. You would see it probably tonight on the ZNS News. You know, I always work in. Lenahan is expanding its wings, its hands. Our tentacles is getting large in the community, and all this is to empower the community. You know, and this is not a gesture. This is me from day one, for many, many years, pushing my effort to help rebuild my community and finding the right partners. And one of them is Lenahan Bahamas, Ms. Sheila Pritchett, Lucas Metropolis, who I met. We started the program off at trying to lick the Whitey program with Sheila Pritchett. We combined those, and now we have three centers, and it's very beneficial to the community. We have a lot of sponsors. We're talking with the Bacardi family. We're talking with the Moscow's family, the Simonet family, the Dorset family, Ed Dorset from East Street Gospel Chapel Church. He was the coordinator today. We had students from various different schools there as well who talked to the ambassador, Herschel Walker. We had many residents from the community who was actually talking to the ambassador. It was a wonderful occasion. It's about building progress, building with the community, making the community better, bringing access to the community. And this is what we are doing as an organization. With my leadership as the community leader, I put ideas together. I go and find the right set of people, and then they do their thing. They get their connections, and I just let them go. I just be a part of what's going on, and I'm seeing that Lenahan is making a tremendous, tremendous change in the community. You know, so again, Ambassador Herschel Walker, Commodore Lag, the Edmonton Foundation, Sandals Foundation, and again, also to the ambassador's wife, Mrs. Walker, was very, very nice. She was also very happy to be in the community. To the soldiers that was there from the U.S., I want to give a special thanks to all those who participated in the pre-opening of Lenahan Bahamas Culinary Kitchen on Hay Street. It was a wonderful, wonderful occasion. You know, I'm always the one that that is always be the protector. So think about this. I'm in the Bahamas, right? And I am an ambassador in my community, right? Not a government ambassador, but a Bahamian ambassador because I have guests from around the world. Now think about this and why I say the country can change and we can make the country a better place. This U.S. commander, Lag, right? He was here, and the U.S. ambassador, Herschel Walker, is his boss. Herschel Walker has bodyguards, okay? His bodyguards were referred to me, and I was walking the ambassador from the event to the ribbon cutting. Think about that. This commodore, he has a warship that is parked out there. Somewhere out there, must be flown on a helicopter or whatever it is. Listen to this. He is one of those who participate in that regional protecting the Caribbean under Donald Trump regime. Right now, he is one of the leading sub-lieutenants, I mean commander, right? And I was protecting him in the community. I was protecting the ambassador, okay, to make sure they are safe. And we had also Bahamian police better, but two Bahamian police there who are part of Lenahan Bahamas, who we recommend. And one was sent just to be there to make sure protection was there. But we didn't need no protection because we are the protection. So think of that. You understand? You know? So I was escorting and showing the ambassador where he needed to go, him and his wife. And I was leading a guy who has a military ship out there with bombs, okay, planes out there. And I'm here guiding him to my community, policing my community. Just a wonderful gesture to show that what you can do as a human, if you put your mind to it, and then you allow God to come in your life, and you don't be a jealous person or envious person. You should be a person who could get along with people, and that's what I am. I could get along with anybody, and that's why people love me so much. And that's why we're making so much progress with Lenahan Bahamas. So I want to thank the U.S. Embassy, and again, the U.S. Navy, Sandals Foundation for sponsoring the hydroponic cooler. It's a big, big, big trailer. And the elderly people in the community will be going to the class learning culinary kitchen, cooking, Chinese cooking. They'll be learning there, and then we get the hydroponic system in place where we grow the vegetables to cook, you know, to deal with the chronically diseases in the country. Try and slow it down by teaching them how to grow, teaching them how to cook healthy. So it's going to be wonderful for the community again, okay? So we can start the show. We can play the first clip. We can kick it off with this.
Days after an employee of the Parliamentary Registration Department was arrested in connection with an alleged fraudulent voters card scheme, Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe says the government has reaffirmed its commitment to identifying and prosecuting those involved.
The fact that you couldn't get a genuine voters card, I'm sure it's that the system worked. The one thing you cannot do with a fraud voters card is vote. Because when you show up, they'll have the counterfoil in the box, and if you cannot find the counterfoil, you cannot vote. And so they may be using it to seek to get other documents, but the one thing you can't do with it is vote. The fact of document fraud is one that's been around for ages in every country.
Monroe says he finds the situation troubling. He adds that under the current government, authorities have identified individuals involved and continue to pursue others linked to fraudulent documents.
What I find startling is that we are detecting it now, and it wasn't detected previously, when in fact it was happening previously. So it's almost like we've always had cocaine trafficking, but you didn't have the cocaine bus before 2021. And then afterwards, you keep finding it. So every time we find a document that's not properly done, That shows that we're catching the bad guys.
He says the government has made further commitments to pursue and penalize persons found in possession of or assisting others to obtain fraudulent documents, warning that those involved will face heavy fines or imprisonment.
We've made a further commitment that we will enact legislation that anyone who is found guilty of document fraud will face upgraded penalties. That wouldn't necessarily apply to people who have committed offenses before the act is passed, but certainly it's anticipated that that will happen early in the next term, and anyone then messing around with our documents will face a maximum of 10 years imprisonment. The fine, I believe, is up to $50,000 or both.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Arnika Bannister.
Oh, Lord. Please excuse me. You know, like I say, we speak on things that we know what is happening in the country. This is not a attack on the Minister of National Security. It's for this comment based on evidence that we receive, what we knew was happening. And all due respect to the Minister of National Security, you know, that he is a highly intelligent individual. He is was one of the top lawyers when he was a lawyer. You know, you have to give up that. And he has taken that into politics. He has been very successful. He's one of the top lawyers in the country. You know, he basically has not really lost a case. That should show you what type of lawyer he is. He rarely loses cases and stuff like that. My auntie was recently talking to me. She told me that, you know, that he is my family. She also mentioned that even the Gomez is our family. She even said that Michael Pintard is our family, Miami, you know, because I'm a Bran, and I'm also a Brennan. And she told us about our family lineage. She said, you know, that Mr. Monroe is our family because my grandmother was a Monroe. My grandmother, mom was a Monroe. So, yeah. You know, she was telling me all who was our family and stuff like that when she washed her nose and stuff like that. So it's crazy. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this. You know that it's going to the election, and not to jeopardize the candidates who are trying to seek re-election or those who are trying to become the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. They're nominated. They're getting ready to go to the polls on May 12th. I would say this to the Minister of National Security. A few months ago, we had the leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, made allegations that there was someone by the airport without something to do with fraudulent documents. He made a statement and he was scrutinized. And like I say, this is not no money point for the FNM. This is how we tell the truth. If someone speak it, whether it's the FNM, the PIP, if they speak it, a coalition, if they speak it and it's the truth, then it was brought to the public and we heard what one individual say. And then we hear what the next individual say. We put two and two together, right? So the opposition leader was attacked, you know. They said that was ludicrous, you know. They denied it, you know, especially the Minister of National Security. And like I said, this is not for him not to be reelected, you know. It's up to the people of the Bahamas to decide if they're going to allow each particular MP that's running or a constituency, or on a party, it's up to those constituency side if they're going to mark PLP, or they're going to mark FNM, or they're going to mark coalition, or they're going to mark independent. So all this, so everyone has their own decision. But at the same time, we like to speak the truth because we have to fix the bombers, like Rahm said. So now, he attacked, the government attacked the opposition. They said, if you have the evidence, blah, blah, blah. Well, a few weeks later, we see there was 96 close to 100 persons before the courts that was being charged before the courts or are before the courts for fraudulent matters containing national insurance card or false passports and other documents, okay? So now we know as behemoths, you know, we don't have the evidence, but we know what we see in the streets. We know having conversation in the barber stores, barber shops, by the bars, et cetera, on the streets, in the food store, and everywhere we walk, we knew. But, you know, we don't have no evidence because, you know, we don't have the power to investigate. The authorities have the power to investigate unless someone go and use the fraudulent documents. Then, you know, the government now is asking us if we know anyone fraudulent documents, give them a call. You know, they wasn't saying that before. It was kind of denial. And now we have now if given a next chance, in the next general election, they would put $10,000, well, how much? $50,000 fine, I think. Imprisonment as well could go, depends on the severity of the fraudery, means and how serious the fraudery is when it comes to the documents and stuff like that, how the court is going to pursue the matter, how much time they're going to give you. I think it ranged anywhere. He said, yes, and then he got high fine up to $50,000, you know, and he explained that, you know, these documents can be used but to get other documents, but when it comes to getting registered or to go to vote, if a certain mechanism is on it, they will detect it and that person be arrested. That's what we're seeing now. And he is stating that, you know, this being going on from the previous administration. Yes, it was going on in the previous administration. Y'all inherited. And there are some irregularities in y'all government where individuals in the Immigration Department, in the National Insurance Department, and could be files up to the Foreign Affairs Department that deals with passport and et cetera. A lot of people could be involved, not just one individual, because, you know, if you get in some sign here, it goes high up. You know, it's a monopoly of people who are involved. Many would not be investigated because they stopped the investigation right here. Then we saw a lady went to National Insurance. She presented her voter's card trying to get a National Insurance card. But we all know that you need to get a National Insurance card before you can get a voter's card. So that was brought to the attention of the person interviewing the particular young lady. She was questioned, arrested, and then she was further questioned at the station. And then she gave a name to a particular individual who works in the Parliamentary Registry Department. Okay? So now you're seeing the connection. So he is arrested. Don't you think he has somebody who he's connected to and somebody else is connected to? So now we find out that this was going on in the country. Now the government response is that if you get them a next opportunity, they would make stiffer penalties. Thanks. But we didn't have a problem. So these are things what we as Bahamian citizen, besides being a member of the PLP and being a member of the Free National Movement, there are people in the country who are like me who are just looking for what's right in the country, and that's what we will vote on. That's why we have close to like 206,000 or 207,000 persons voted, registered to vote in the upcoming general election. And anyone could ask you this. Yeah, we see the crowd. I'm not saying that the PLP cannot win the next general election. Like I said, I'm not saying they cannot win the next general election. I'm just saying based on his immigration policy and now the government was denying we had an immigration problem or denying we having problems with the passport, denying we having problems with the National Insurance Card, but every week there was someone who was getting locked up and charged before the court for fraudulent document. So that means that it had to be widespread for these things to keep on popping up when the government and the minister was defending it. And, you know, he is in defense because, like, that's the government, and the government can do no wrong. You know, as always, the government is right. Whether the Free National Movement government, they would do the same thing. That's just a part of governance where they'll never admit when they're wrong. And if they're wrong, they try to let it die and then try to correct it by saying, give us a next chance, and we would give stiffer penalties, stiffer fine, jail sentence for those persons who are dealing fraudery in any government department. So it's widespread. Now we have the Minister of National Security who's denying the voice. Now it's happening now. They said this is the solution they're going to come up with. you know. So to us as Bahamians, we already knew that. So it gives much to think about for us as citizens who are not a part of the party structure, who are just Bahamians who vote on the leader, the members, if the party is telling the truth, if the party has invested enough with the major investments in the country, if is it a trickle-down effect that reaches the less fortunate. We have heard about the progress that's been happening in the country. But the fact of the matter remains the same, that the fraudulent documents is one of the main reasons why so many Bahamians got registered to vote in this upcoming general election, May 12th. Okay, so it's not a talk on the minister. But again, the minister is government, and he is never going to admit when government is wrong. We, the citizen, is to admit when the government is wrong, because we speak about it in the airwaves. We talk about it in the newspaper. Media personnel and reporters are asked the hard question, and then it is brushed off, you know. So it's a very serious thing that's happening in the country. The opposition instance, they are saying that if they're elected, and they stand a chance, a very good chance of winning the next general election, despite what's going on. But, you know, right now, with the atmosphere in the country and many people are undecided on who they're going to vote for, maybe what happens now on May 12th will decide who and what political party is going to come on top in a general election. Is it going to be a landslide, or is it going to be a close election where we get some members of the Free National Movement in 7, 8, 9 seats, or we get the PLP with 37 seats, or the Free National Movement with a landslide and the PLP get 7 or 8 or 9 seats or 4 seats. I don't know. It could be vice versa, or the Coalition of Independents come up and be the spoiler and get a few seats. And then, you know, this is very interesting, you know. This is very interesting. So the Free National Movement themselves, they pledge that if they get elected as the next government of the Bahamas, they would give pregnant moms $200. They would build 5,000 homes for residents in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas because of the growing population. Graduates coming to school, close to 5,000 graduates coming to school every year. And they themselves need to start their family and need opportunities. So they're saying that if they are elected, if you're not, if you come here illegally, you will not be allowed to get citizenship. I guess they give you temporary permit and something like that, keep you there with that document, and then gradually, you know, if you be a good citizen, you pay your taxes, you do it the right way, and you keep on applying under the restrictions of the immigration department, you could go from there to probably getting a permanent residency, you know, to make sure that you have status in the country. But again, you will not probably get the citizenship that requires you to be a Bahamian citizen. So I guess that's what they're suggesting. So it's going to be very, very close Coalition of Independence led by Lincoln Bean. Many people saying, you know, that he is too arrogant as a leader. He makes some good points, but then sometimes, you know, they pledge, the Coalition of Independence pledge that they give $100,000 a acre land, hard on immigration, et cetera, get the natural resources and give it to the Bahamian people, you know? So very interesting, but most people are really concerned about the immigration, corruption that's going on in our country. Are we going to play the next flick, please?
We would be delighted to support in the role of international election observer as the government and the Parliamentary Commission deems appropriate. We participate in international observation missions all around the world in support of principles of transparency, accountability, and we would be delighted to participate in that impartial, neutral manner here in the Bahamas too. Of course, we value our relationship with the Bahamas as a member of the Commonwealth very highly, and we look forward to coordinating with other Commonwealth countries that may be coming in to observe. We would be
The opposition has requested that they want observers to come in the country to watch this general election, because they're saying, you know, they feel that you know, a lot of fraud documents have been going wrong, and they feel that the government has the resources and they feel that they has an edge, so they're requesting international assistance, and that's from Britain. I think they'd be down here watching the election. You know, I'd also like to state that in our courts as well, persons were telling me that there were FBI agents in many of the serious cases facing the country where senior officers were arrested here in the country. I heard that they are saying that agents from these departments were sitting down in court to make sure that the court proceeding went smoothly, and that the law itself is being applied to where it needs to be applied, because they want to make sure that the person who commit these offenses, even though they are high-ranking officials in the country, meaning that they are senior police officers, that, you know, many of them were untouchable, and that they will not be protected, like many being and said that, you know, it wasn't for the U.S. that many of these senior officers themselves were not being before the courts today. And that's one of the reasons we are seeing, some people are saying agents are in the court to make sure that the law applies to those who break it. And there were talks in the newspaper recently about the Pike Company and why it left the Bahamas, or what happened, you know, and read the newspaper. I see it here somewhere. Pike deal mired in confusion. No clear explanation for Pike exit from Bahamas Grid Company management. I mean, for me, this is what I'm going to give my 2 cents. I don't have to be right. I feel that when the Pike employee who wife should give birth in the next 3 months, the gentleman who lost his life here at the hands of an officer of the Royal, senior officer of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, he would not see his baby born in, because his life was taken by the hands of a law enforcement officer from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We don't know if it's justifiable. That was stated previously when we listened to the news report. We saw a senior officer on news and saying that the bike employee who was in the truck, the officer himself who was the shooter, she stated that he was in fear of his life, and that's why he just shot his firearm on the young gentleman's life, you know, who is a tourist and also a contract worker here, with partnership from both the Bahamas government and the U.S. government to help improve the grid in the Bahamas to make sure that we can provide power in case there's a shortage. They put some new system in place. They were cutting down trees. They were on time. You know, they were making the system smooth, and they just abruptly left. And again, they left because, like, again, after the incident with the shooting, I was reading on Facebook, half the staff already left. As soon as that individual was shot and killed, the case is put before the court. The officer is in prison. I think he's looking to get bail. I don't know when he's going to get bail. His co-workers in the company, half of the team left. because what was said, and they felt, you know, they read the newspaper, and that's why our government has failed to address it as well. We are here and saying why pipe deal murdered in confusion. There's only one reason they left the country. Is they left because they're in solidarity of the fact that one of their friends, a father to be, looking to go back home, will not be going home. They share a great relationship on the work site. They're happy to be here in the Bahamas. And you know, the strange part about it, we talk about the criminals on the street. But here's an international incident involving one of our senior officers who is accused of taking the life of a pike worker who was on contract here in the Bahamas. And he also was a guest here. You know, and that is international news. You know, not like we are talking about it like that. You know, the damage has been done, you know, and reflect the Royal Bahamas Police Force, you know, and the government of the country. And, you know, Pike, they are a sophisticated company. They have cameras all about their vehicles. They have to the back, to the front, to the inside. You can't smoke in these vehicles. You can't drink in these vehicles. That means you can't drink no rum in these vehicles because they're recording. The company don't want to be held as a liability. They want to make sure that whoever's driving the truck and working the truck, that they are sober and fit, and they always on guard. That means, excuse me, they always know they're surrounded when they're reversing and stuff like that. So they have the latest technology inside their vehicle. And when they saw the footage, and I think that led to the officer, senior officer being charged, and these individuals living here and they read the newspaper, and at the same time they heard about the police involved shooting. Some are justifiable, some are unjustifiable, and this is given, and then this happened to them. And then they saw the footage, and they left the country. Now what are we gonna do? You know, that's the international motto. That's an international embarrassment, not on me and you, but the Royal Bahamas Police Force. But you're not seeing that in the newspaper. But that's an officer took the life of a company, and this company, they must give back the money. You understand? And they left because one for all and all for one, and that's how they did it. And that's the reason I think Pike left the Bahamas. So it's not the fact that some contract dispute. It was the fact that a life was taken and they feel it was unjustifiable and that something needs to be done, and they don't want to leave their employees at risk because they might be thinking these officers would come after them as well based on this incident. So it's like, you know, real talk. You don't think that's true, people? Okay. Yeah, that. Okay. I want to talk about that. We have one more clip. We can build this in the last clip.
Garden Hills. I've been blessed with many opportunities over the years, from the NBA to entertainment to business. But why is that important to you? Simply put, I've got the codes. The codes that unlock capital, the codes that will connect our people to real opportunities, and the codes that turn potential into real progress. I know how investment moves. I know how deals get done. And I know how to bring that all home to Garden Hills and to the Bahamas. So, while others are now busy counting my money, I will simply focus on how to build yours. My commitment is real. I will not be taking a salary. Instead, we will be building an investment engine for our community. I'm here to serve full time and to make sure Garden Hills is no longer left out of the global economy. And here's exactly what we're going to do to deliver that. We will invest in our people, our seniors. Through a founder's card, we will take care of the people who built this community. Through our youth, we will invest and opportunities for them. Through 10 college scholarships annually, we will mentor them and create real pathways forward. We will support our small businesses. We will invest in them yearly with 25 grants of up to $10,000 each for entrepreneurs and small business owners. We will invest in our creatives. We will build a fully operational media and technology studio where our young people can create, produce, and earn in the global digital economy. I will use my connections in Hollywood and New York to make sure there is a steady stream of TV, movie, and live productions that Bahamian businesses and actors and actresses can participate in. We will bring healthcare directly to you, not miles away, right here in our community. We will have a dedicated ambulance and mobile health clinics scheduled regularly, a pharmacy with access to prescriptions and medicines you need when you need them. Because a healthy economy starts with a healthy community. We will create opportunities and jobs. We will build a place you can walk into and connect directly to work, to business, and to growth. Where opportunity is not something you chase, it's something you can actually feel and access. We will build a home for youth development, a large-scale athletic training center where our young people can train every day with real coaches, real programs, and real pathways so that they don't just dream. They get trained, they get seen, and then they get their shot. We will restore our natural assets. We will restore Harold Pond as a protected natural asset for this community. It will be clean, safe, and it will create a space for families, small businesses, and real local activity. And finally, we will fix the foundation. Cleanliness, infrastructure, drainage, roads, lighting, not as a favor for political supporters and allies, but as a standard operating procedure for every family that lives on every street in Garden Hills. This is not a campaign promise. This is a contract between me and Garden Hills. On May 12th, we vote. And then we take our country forward, starting right here in Garden Hills. God bless Garden Hills, and God bless the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Wow, very, very interesting. You know, for me, these are things I've been preaching for many, many years. You know, I've been a part of many governments. I've given my free consultancy to many individuals who are charged with urban design lab. Samantha Roll, Ms. Roll, who now is Ms. Linda Roll. She is now with the Life of Key Foundation. We did some work in 2013, and you know, often in the city community, and I know what the community needed. And one thing I preach about is the stuff that the boss is doing in Fort Charlotte and the creativity that Rick Falk wants to introduce into his constituency that he's running for, you know, being on the ground. And I knew what the community needed and what they're talking and what they're doing. The boss is doing it. Rick Falk is has on his campaign pledge that if he is elected, but now the boss is doing it. And like Rick Falk said, if he's elected, he's willing to put $10 million there, use his Hollywood influence connections to help the people of Garden Hills, you know, so that I want to see happen in all the constituencies in the country. You know, kudos to Mr. Sabas, Mr. $469 million. You know, there were a lot of talks about Mr. Fox. You know, and I always said this to people, you know, don't judge the book by its cover. We should know that people in the NBA, they know how to invest their money. So many people were saying that he had no funds and he was a broke guy. No, no. Well, since in America, know how to invest their money. His earnings, I think, was 27 million in the NBA, but that's old money. That's a lot of money. The millions back in the day is worth 10 times the money today. So that was plenty, plenty, plenty money back in the day. He was able to invest in many different businesses. But besides this, he acted in many different movies, nearing living off also off that as well. He also gets a lot of endorsements for, you know, his face and stuff like that when the movies play and stuff like that, you get incentive. So over that, he has grown an empire, you know. He said that he had $469 million, and that's asset included. So, you know, for the community, for Charlotte, Garden Hills, exhumed with Chester Cooper, $1.4 million. $1.4 billion investments he got invested in Exuma and the Norman communities. He is doing similar to what Sabas is doing, similar to what Rick Fox wants to do, similar to what Chester Cooper is doing, similar to what I'm doing in my community. Now, let me tell you my estimate. Okay, let me see now. $469 million he pledged to do community work like what Sabas is doing. He wants to bring ambulance. He wants to bring healthcare to the people in the community. The same thing I want happening in Grandstand. I want us to have our personal ambulance. I want us to get the nurses and stuff like that to go door to door. Or if we build a clinic in that community, or if we have the nurses going door to door with the latest health tips, health guide, teaching us what we should be eating if we get this particular respiratory illness, what we need for it, what we need to take for it. You know, go door to door, but make sure that they pay the right salary for the actual work. You know, go in door to door, have an ambulance. That means if the ambulance will respond for that particular community. So, like what Mr. Fox is suggesting, respond to people in Garden Hills. If you build an ambulance ramp, you know, could be a fire station as well. Deals with those people in the resident to get the response time. You know, life is the response time, and I guess that if you have a particular place, a station set up, or you have your ambulance, your fire truck, you could get to that individual real quick, because it takes about 30, 40 minutes for the ambulance to leave from Princess Margaret Hospital to get to Garden Hills. So the time frame would be short. It would only take about a few minutes for the ambulance to go and dispatch anywhere in Garden Hills, et cetera, get the victim, and then take the victim to the hospital. So you kill the response time, because response time is everything when it comes to saving life. The quicker you can get them to the hospital is the quicker the doctors and nurses can see what the problem is and be able to assist and hopefully fix the problem. But things like that are being preaching, and we basically need that in all communities. So we have here the boss estimated $28.9 million. He also stated that he has $150 million on the side. That's for family matters. Rick Fox has $469 million. That included investments. We have Chester Cooper at $28 million. You know, we want to talk about this $13 million increase. You know, that's the big talk. You know, let me tell you how much money you get. A couple hundred. And I'm doing the same thing. You know, like Tully Balenahan, Bahamas. You know, I got the right, you know. I got the right set of people. They trust me, they believe in me. And we have a center up and running. We have 3 centers in the millions, you know? So you could do some things, you know, you know what I'm saying? I only get a couple hundred, a couple thousand, a couple hundred. I struggle a bit one day when my restaurant open. I did the talk, but I'm rich. I'm rich by helping my community. I'm rich because I'm making a lot of people. I'm helping a lot of people. I'm helping the kids, I'm helping the old people, you know? So that's real wealth. That's the wealth to me. But now I got to get some of this paper now, so that's why I'm trying to finish my restaurant and go from there. But like I said, I've made major investments in my community. Just like Sabas, what he's doing now, I've been doing it for years, probably longer than a lot of people in the country, you know? So it's going to be great. We're going to talk about the $28 million, Mr. Chester Cooper. Chester Cooper's doing it for a phenomenal job on Exuma. Hotels, airports, rent-owned homes, small business, the name, a few. So now, people talk about the $13 million. They just recently had to disclose their wealth. And, you know, he was one who disclosed. And, you know, he had $28.7 million. So they saw a $13 million increase. And many people, you know, would like to know, well, did he get it? How did he get it? How did he get this increase? Has to be something to do with his position as the MP for Exuma. So this is my 2 cents on it. Okay. When you're doing business and you're getting investments as a member of parliament, the PLP, the FNM, and then if the coalition was able to get in there too, and they are governing the country, These are things white people. Sometimes it ain't all about corruption. Sometimes it's just about goodwill. Right? Let me explain. When MP goes out there and he's negotiating for, just say, he's the second man in charge of the government, so he has access to customs, he have access to immigration, he have access to BPL, he have access to all the major departments in government, not like the rest of the MPs who do not. Mr. Watson, them, who are junior ministers, they don't have that leverage like a Chester Cooper or Fred Mitchell or the prime minister. They have all governments under their wing. So what happens is when they go there and they get investors who come into the Bahamas, and Chester Cooper's a businessman. Besides, you know, he owns Gulf Union, he owns many different, before he went in politics, he was down a millionaire, I guess. Very good, smart businessman, but he is also a community leader. He knows some of the things that Exuma needs. So he went out there and used his position as a deputy prime minister and as a tourism minister to go out there and bring investments to Exuma. And that's why we've seen hospitals. I mean, we've seen airports. We've seen hotels being built. We've seen low-cost homes being built. I mean, rental home being built. So what he does is when he goes to these investors, there's something in it for them as well. And they need to get their merchandise properly come through. This is what I'm saying. You need merchandise to come to customs. You could get a little lower price. He'd say, look, I could get you to get this come in the country, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's just to take some of the expense off because it's going to be beneficial to the Bahamian people. We're talking about blocks. We're talking about sheetrock. We're talking about sand and et cetera. So it breaks it down tremendously for the investor because now, you know, you get a little pass with customs. You could call it corruption, but it's a goodwill, whether you call it corruption or not. There's some of our IMPs who come and they would do the same thing as well. So just their deal is finalized. So what some of the investors would do from other countries, just what they do, they would normally go and give you a little blessing. Say, thank you for doing business with me. This is on behalf of us. Here's $1 million or $2 million. And that goes on behind the door. Then you get some who demand certain things. You know, some investors that give you this because you did goodwill, you break down a lot of expenses for them coming in the country. Then you have some MPs who use their position of power to extort investors. And you saw that a few years back when a certain member of parliament of a particular party, he tried to use his position as a minister to extort a particular company. And they refuse and they expose it. And was asking for $1 million. So that's how some of these MPs get their riches, in this case, at Chester Cooper. Then you see some people, like I say, other MPs, they get people specific, like easier way to get to government agencies, and then they get their cut. You understand? So in Chester Cooper case, that's probably where you get $13 million from, or an increase from his businesses, but should not be put on this account because as a politician, you can't be doing no business. So I don't know, you know. And then you look at Travis Robertson. Let me give you a prime example. See, I'm a fair guy. I'm going to just talk about the BLP and not talk about the FNM. Travis Robertson, when he first came in the community, I supported him. I still do. You know, just not in Fort Charlotte. But I mean, support him, like I'm a community leader. I'm not supporting him as a political party. I'm supporting the idea, his ideal of being a member of parliament to help to help change the condition in the inner city community. And as a community leader who has been doing it for many years, I'll never stop a next young man for doing something that I feel or that I think he intends, his intentions are pure. Okay? So when he came in as an independent candidate, and then he came around with me, and I assisted him, me and Graham Bredeford assisted him, helping them, you know, give packages that Graham was bringing by my place, and we was helping Travis Robertson share it in the community, and also inviting him down by the events we were having in the Grandstand community. Okay, if you watch, when he declared how much funds he had in the bank, it was nothing more than a few $100s, you know, and then he got picked up by the Free National Movement, And when he got picked from the Free National Movement, he was able to get an engine, you know, because as an independent, if you're in Dr. Hubert Minnis, who get millions, you know, to run your own campaign, you know, and also to do some things for your community, that's a difference. You know, independent candidates can make a big, big change in their community. But a little Travis Robinson, he needed an engine. You know, even if I was to go in politics, I'd have to decide I need an engine. Even though I don't like the party structure, I know I need an engine. An engine means you need personnel, you need people on the ground who's going to support you, walk with you, be on the phone, talking to residents and stuff like that. That's going to be very hard for you. You know, so Travis ended up with the Free National Movement. They coaxed him in. He went to the election date. He was successful based on the fact that the people were fed up with Mr. Christie when he stick up his middle finger, told us, they, you know, you could go to God, but then you come back to me and all that stuff. That particular time, the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas had investments in the billions, just like how investments now in the billions here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, in the Exuma and here in the Bahamas. It was just like that. And through those insults, the Bahamian people decided that that was enough, and they voted the Progressive Liberal Party. And the FNM won landslide with the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. But like I said, these people don't understand he didn't want the election off his own. The election was won because people were fed up with Mr. Christie and the way how he talked to the Bahamian people at that particular time. So we took it to the poll, especially when we talk about God. And then, like I said, you got to put a dog, you got to put a cat, you could have put a donkey on the lamppost at that particular time. As long as it was in yellow, you could have won the election. So that's how Travis Robinson was able to win being in grandstand, as well as former Prime Minister Perry Christie and Deputy Prime Minister, I think the Minister of National Security, the late great Dr. Bernard Nordish. They lost their seat. Mr. Christie lost his seat by, I think, seven or eight votes. He had to do a recount, then he admitted, and they lost the election. Okay? One second. Like I said, he lost the election. So, you know, it's going to be very, very, very interested in this general election. Oh, wow. Let me get it. Yeah. So, it'll be very interesting. So, if you're listening, you want to call in, you can. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. And like I say, you know, so, I can't even remember what I was talking about. Sometimes I get so much into these shows. And I have so much work I've been doing, you know, I stay working. So, yeah. So the 13 million, like I was saying, and that's how many people are. Travis Robinson. Yeah, I get it now. So Mr. Robinson, he ran in politics. He had a few hundred dollars. He got the engine up for the big sponsor from somebody in the party. Gave him close to $500,000. He was able to campaign with that, and he was able to be successful. And he went in there as a poor young man. Now, listen, we want to see Bahamians uprise in this country. This is not a shot on Travis Robinson. I'm just trying to show you the process of how MPs end up with funds. You know, you're looking at the $13 million increase for Chester Cooper and et cetera. You're looking at the $1 million for Michael Pintard, $1 million increase. That's what they're saying. You know, at the end of the day, when Travis finishes 5-year term, not an infinite 5-year term, they did an early election. I think they did 4 years, 4.5 years, they did an early election. Just like how the PLP called the early election. The election is supposed to be run in October, so he called the early election. Travis showed his estimate, and it was like, I think, if I'm correct, $400,000 or something like that. So you think about that, and it could have been more. So how do you think he inherited that? He inherited that by people coming to him. And then you have some people who respect you as an MP, you know? And then you would find ways to milk the money that is in the constituency, you would find somebody to get a little cut out of it, you know? That's what is be going on, you know? And he ended up with that inheritance. So if you're looking at it across the board with two parties, that's what most MPs do. And like I say, in Chester Cooper case, he is different. I mean different, I mean that when you do investments and you sit down with companies and you make it easier for them and you reduce their spending, they would give you funds as incentive. And then some companies would want to buy you and corrupt you just to get what they want. And they get mixed up with MPs who don't care about the country, who sell it out the country. You know, in some cases, we see like all of the, we have 700 Island, 700 Keys. Many of the keys got sold out. When we look on real estate websites around the country, we are seeing Scottie Pippen or Michael Jordan or Maria Cleary own a key. But we as Bahamian people, we never heard about it. You know, we never heard about it. It wasn't on the news, it wasn't nowhere. But who made the deal? It has to be the MP who's in charge with that community. He is the one who would bargain with the real estate agents and stuff like that. They have a close connection. Okay, so we're gonna take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, my brother.
Hey, good night, good night.
Excellent. Listen, now that you bring up this topic, I was talking to someone and they indicated something to me. Do you know where the money when the government gives them their monthly, which bank account that goes into?
I think
someone was telling me it actually goes into the MP's bank account.
Yes, it does.
Responsible disbursement, and that ain't right.
Yes, it goes to that account.
The MP's bank account. Are you supposed to have a separate bank account? Could that be why someone I'm showing so much money in their bank account?
Yes, as well, because they can take a little sniping with that.
And that ain't right. Because now they got to account for that. They got to actually show where that money came in and then it went out.
Yes, sir.
That's something, right? You're supposed to separate your personal money within your name from the constituency. Set up a separate constituency account, but you confirming that that's where it actually goes.
I mean,
I can believe that when I heard that. If not, I know you know some fellow MPs. Could you find it from them exactly where that money goes, the Treasury send them?
Yes. Yes, but I know, I will ask, but I know the MPs get it, and they get like $15,000. They get $120,000 or $150,000. I think it's $120,000.
But Brad Mitchell say $500,000 now. A year.
Wow.
He just said that. They constituency getting $500,000, which they was getting $1 million.
Yeah, and that's what I've been pushing for them. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And
that's a lot of money, brother.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know how tempting that is, or you co-mingling funds? Even accountants will tell you you ain't supposed to mix up money.
Well,
that co-mingling, you can get yourself in problems.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes. I'm glad a lot of people are listening, because I'm telling you, this is how things work, you know. This is how things work in the country. And the caller was making a valid point right there. You know, he's talking about the constituency money. They get like $15,000 a year. And that's why you see a lot of things don't really be happening in the community, because sometimes these MPs, they hold back this money and they use it for their own personal value. They do a little feeding program there, take some cameras, and, you know, they'd have like $15,000 spent. So instead of $15,000, they say, you know what? But yeah, I ain't spending no $15,000. I ain't too sure if I get reelected, and I need some for myself. Even though they're getting a salary like $80,000 or $90,000 from now, salary as being an MP and sniping. So they say, look, y'all, we just go get some hot dogs and burger, take some pictures, eh? And then 15, spend a little, $4,000. And you still keep on 11, that just for that month. But this will just be going on in the country. So I like the fact that Rick Fox, when not you, says, if he's re-elected, I don't know if he's going to be successful in God knows. But it give food for thought, because the money could go to someplace else. You know? Go ahead, caller. Go on Inside the Inner City.
Bless it, Scoozy.
Yes, brother.
Give thanks and praises.
Yes, sir.
I got to come in here, man. We need a conversation offline, but you see that brother we just called us now?
Yes, sir.
Enough respect, you know?
Yes, yes.
You see that youth there, right? I just listen to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He really is up some good ideas.
Yeah, he's a smart young man.
Yeah, but what I like is what he said, right? You know, my favorite word is BS, right? And you got to say the initials, right? But,
yes, sir.
I'm hoping, well, you know, I won't call and ask Lang this, you see, because, you know, I got to hear that from Lang, right? And that's the quickest place to find that out, from Lang is the sincerest when it comes to this political infrastructure.
And his experience. Whatever.
Let me see if I should say that, because me, you and I know we are very ignorant about a lot of things when it comes to the inner circle, right?
Yes, sir.
So now, for me, but you can't unbar them the way. You got all kind of executives moving through the inner city.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, man, I like that. I like that. You know, I like that, man.
But, no, I never stop. I never stop. I can continue. Yeah,
but me and one of my brethren who's coming to show up and hang with me, he, like a couple of years younger than me, right?
Yes, sir.
I got some serious information. Some serious whistle bloating there, you know.
Yeah.
Squishy. Sure, you wouldn't believe what's going on, man. I got some thing down in the hospital. You wouldn't believe it. But anyhow, I want you to see it, but you don't have to put it on the news.
Yes,
but, sir. When it comes down to what the young man was talking about, because I'd mentioned it, I can't remember if I talked with Lang or somebody I talked to in Guardian. And I was saying if the, through Lang, I learned that the allotments of the money, the funds to the community, right, is given in increments. It's not just put there in one lump sum,
no,
right?
$15,000 or something like
that. And so the fact that the young man raised a serious concern is not, right?
Mm-hmm.
See if it's going to their bank account. So we don't know the amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary because why would you do that? And then you see, not saying in every community, but in some communities, nothing is being done. But mm-hmm. you're still incrementally
getting the funds.
Dispensing this money to the said community or person or whatever, account, whatever. Which for me is BS at its finest in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And it's frightening if that is the model that they're going with today, given the fact that Mr. Strawn is always talking about local government, et cetera, and we see the shortcomings and the neglect within the inner city, I should say. You see what I'm saying? You see some of the swings and the different infrastructure that they have on the parks. They could cut you the sign is not being, it's decrepit at
not,
best.
It's and not so, maintained.
And even as I pass your area where we see the whole of the camp, nothing
yes.
being done with that. A lot of areas where there's a lot of dilapidated buildings that something could be done, right?
Yes.
And just a general cleanup. The brethren make a joke the other day on the radio, say they didn't even have the rat poison. But the amount of rat that he's supposed to come through, like right now, I won't get a big 55, you know them big bag of dog food for 60 pounds?
Yes, sir.
I won't get one of them and just dump it around. Because these rodents can't do too bad, but the people ain't seem to see nothing wrong with this squishy.
Yes.
You understand what
I'm saying? We have a rodent problem and all community.
Yeah, but
go ahead.
I want you to keep up the works, but
yes, sir.
When you hear from me, right, you ain't going to believe what all what's going on, squishy. But
nope.
We got a network, but some days it's better kept secret. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Nassau is a small 21 by 21. Somebody knows someone, someone knows someone. But give thanks still, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, 50. Yes, 52. Thanks very much to 52 and the caller who was doing a tremendous job. And again, you know, our problems are not being met, you know. This is not a shot on Mr. Watson. I think Mr. Watson is doing the best that he can. I think he stands a chance of getting reelected. It's going to be tight with Jay. You have the coalition, my cousin Jamal Bain, at least two of my students, Jay Philippine. And then Jamal Bean was my cousin. It's going to be tight down in there. How's the edge? I don't know. But we have a problem in our communities. Places like Fort Charlotte, being in Grandstand, Angleston, Camp Road. We have a rodent problem. We have a dialect legal problem. We have unrestricted, unusable homes in the inner city community that could be turning into low-cost homes, that could be turning into something beautiful. Apartment buildings that could be turning into low-cost homes, rentals, apartments. Some of these apartments have, like, two-story empty. They could be refurnished and then rent on to some Bahamian at-risk family. Someone who is disabled. As a family member who is disabled, these places can be made available. Persons who need to run away from their spouse, who is abusing them, whether it's a man or a woman, make there are places like this available for them. We have all of the houses here in the country. We just need to go to area by area, section it off by section, each MP, and they're working coordinated together to deal with the rat problem, because the rat problem is a very serious problem. You know, those rats started coming in from Bay Street, and they came on the ships that brought fruits and vegetables here. And the slave ships that came to the Bahamas, and they came on the boat. And the rats crawled down on the ropes of these merchant ships that came to the Bahamas. And these rats spread from Bay Street to all the way out Life of Key. You know, you've seen these rats all over. That's, you imagine that now they're all over the country. So we get millions of rats here that do millions of dollars of damage every year. But the most importantly, the sickness that they spread. You know, so we need a rat sanitizing company, and if we could get in each area someone, some young, smart young man who decides, female, decides to open their pest company that knows how to catch rat and dispose of them, could get a team, sign a contract with the government. One could be in Fort Charlotte. One could be in a being grandstand because you know you're going to be year-round because you have millions of rats. And a lot of people, residents, are going to be calling you and telling you they have a rat infestation problem here and there. So you need that particular team for that community and coordinate. You need one in Anglesey. So Glennis Hannah Martin need a team of rat exterminators. Watson, if they are really elected, or the Free National Movement coming, or the coalition coming, anyone who comes as a new member of parliament for this constituency, they have to have a contingency plan to deal with the rat population in their country. You know, because it's a big health risk, and a lot of people, TVs, fridge, are getting damaged, and then these rats, again, they stolen the food because the hoses are not properly with the right windows, the doors. You know, a lot of people hose are run down, so the rot and sanopy, you know. Even dealing with sanopy and roaches and stuff like that, because we have people living with sanopy, living with roaches, you know. They see this on a regular basis in their houses. That's how people living in the inner city community of Campwood, Anglesey, and stuff like that. So we need to deal with these rats. So we need a team of rot catchers and rat disposers in the country. That could be a big business, you know. You can imagine working in one area for like a whole 5 years, because it's going to be a problem. You're going to be barking for it. Then you could eradicate the rat population at the same time. And they could also identify at-risk properties that are harboring these rats. So when you go, the rat catchers go, and they see a particular yard where they're breeding, they could work directly with the minister and the minister of environment to deal with the situation. So yes, we need rat catchers in the country. So I want to encourage poison out there who want an idea. We need some rat catchers in the country. Train yourself and get a team, get your truck, know how to dispose of them when you catch them humanely, and apply yourself to the government. Start a small business dealing with catching rats and extermination. You'll make plenty of money right now dealing with rats in the country. I want to encourage young guys out there, even females, you know, but to get them a company and go apply to be a rat catcher in the Pacific community, because you're going to have plenty of calls. You're going to have hundreds of calls on a regular basis, as long as you advertise and your equipment is right and you're doing the job right, you're sociable, you're going to make a big change. Okay. Someone says here the government should give each extermination company a contract to control a Pacific area. And I agree. But also, let a lot of persons out there in the community who would like to start a small business could subcontract, you know, with the extermination companies in the country. They could train these individuals. Because, you know, even with these companies, it's still a serious rat problem, so we need partners. You understand? So they'd be like a subcontractor working with the extermination company to deal with the rat problem in our community. Yes, we have a serious rat problem in our community. Yes. Woo. So, yeah. So, $13 million with Chester Cooper, that's basically how you get it. You understand? I know people. I've sat down with Sir Lyndon, I've sat down with Perry Christie, and then I use my own interpretation of what goes on in government, because I've been there, I've talked to people, and then I use my own intervention. That's how you get the $13 million increase. You get that as an incentive by making business easier for the business investors that come in the country, and there's bless you. Just like in the NBA. Okay, if you look at the contract with LeBron, if LeBron makes the playoff, he gets like probably $800,000. If he makes it to the NBA final, he gets like $1 million. Just like the player. So you get incentive for doing good. So anytime you do business, anytime you work with companies that are doing business in Exuma, and he make it easier for them, and he save them money, they would personally give you this, you know, off the record. That's how you wonder why, how all these politicians get rich. Ask yourself, how former Prime Minister, the late, great Sir Lyndon Pillen, God rich. Wasn't he rich? Did you think he gets God rich of a regular salary in Parliament? Let me ask a question. Do you think the late great Oscar Selinden Pilnen got rich off his salary that he earned for 25 years in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Do you think former Prime Minister Barry Gladstone Christie, if he wasn't the Prime Minister of the country, you don't think he'd get rich off being the Prime Minister and use his position of power to achieve that? Take a look at the former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Ingram. He is probably richer than all of those guys right now. How did he get it? Yes, he's a lawyer. Yes, Barry Christie's a lawyer. But how did he get it? The connection they use from the government to make business easier. To make the procedure easier. And people give them incentive. Hubert Ingram is guys who weighed over 200, 300 million people. Trust me when I tell you that. Because we have the discussion. Trust me when I tell you that. A lot of people get a lot of money in this country, but they get it from their position as prime minister, making things easier. Some, they sell out to us. Some, they sell out. They sell out the country, and now we are paying for it. When we talk about how Hubert Alexander Ingram, the leader of the Free National Movement, he sold, Bahamas Power and Light, where the company got 51% and the government got 49%. You don't think he cut out that? You don't think when we had a referendum on the gaming situation in the country with Sabaz, Adrian Fox, and all those guys who were trying to legalize gambling in the country, we heard Mr. Christie come to the BMB people, and he said, you know, the BMB people got to make the decision. If the Beeman people say no, then we're not going to pass the gaming license in the country. And boy, Beeman people went to the poll, and the people say no, 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 no. Prime Minister, that ain't a real thing. And pass the legalization of numbers in the country. How much you think he get out of that? You think he ain't getting none of that? You think he rejected it? He put a whole general election. Where he said to the Bahamian people that if you go to the polls and you vote in this referendum and you said, no, I'm going to respect your wishes. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Boy, when he look up, it's some disgrace say. Look, yo, how much them number boys bringing in? So I don't know if Simon Wilson was the financial director in the Ministry of Finance. Is it boy chief? His estimate, these guys, they're putting in like close to $600 million. Yeah. So, you think he wanted with me and you and being Tan and Mason Edition, Vince Abbas and Fox and these number boys, them and Flowers, them pulling in $600 million? But the old being in Grandstand, they may be worth more than that. Now, listen to me. The ain't money is worth more than us in being in Grandstand. But, the real money means it's a boss. Way more than the whole in being Grandstand. When it comes to funds, he have more money than the resident, than the 40,000 people who live in the being Grandstand. Sabas has more money than all of us in the community. Now, he deserved that. I'm just trying to make a point. You understand? Same thing like Rick Fox, if that is the estimate. You know, he passed the whole of what's the community running for? Huh? Chester Cooper, $28 million. Huh? Some settlements, but they weigh more than enough. So that's why, when Mr. Christie said that, he said, boy, hold on. You think I want the people? I'd rather lose this election. You know, why do you think he want to lose the election? Why do you think he went against the people's will? Why do you think he went against the church? Huh? How do you think he get all that money? Mr. Christie is a multimillionaire. Where you get it from? Huh? That's your money. That's our money. Huh? Where do you think you get it from? You all think about it. If these guys go into politics pro and they get his position, you know, his opportunity is there. Where do you think you get it from? Mr. Christie is a multimillionaire as well. He's a guy who probably weighed over $150 million. Huh?
Where you think they get it from? Huh? Huh? So both sides, they get incentive. And some, they sell us hope. Some get it by doing good business with companies. And then some try to use extortion. I don't know what the right way. They're not concerned about how it affects the country. They settle the part of land, mess up the reef, knowing that it's going to mess up the reef, mess up the Bahamas, destroying the Bahamas. You think they're worrying about that? They're worrying about the money that they could get to put in their pocket to go deal with their family and their sweetheart. You understand? So don't let anyone fool y'all. Huh? All of them you see going there, some going poor, and some will come get rich, and some start off with nothing, and they multimillionaires. All of them. PLB and FNM. Huh? Take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hello.
Hey, good night.
How are you doing, man?
I'll be fine.
You know, schools, right? When I look at the number, man, right? Mm-hmm. All of them, right? You know, some are doing better than the others, right? But you all, few that don't act well, like, we know who they are, right? You had one that says that the government should tax them more. You know what I'm saying? And you see, this is the only country in the world that I know where you have legal numbers, private numbers. You understand me? Numbers all over the world, I know. Come and correct me, but I'm sure that, you know, I'm correct. And that the numbers are run by the state. The National Lottery.
Las Vegas.
Right.
The casino.
New York and,
yes,
you know,
yes.
All the various states.
Yes. The country of the United States of America.
Not no private individuals. Mm-hmm. You see, so all the numbers, all the money, you know, they could do all the spinning, you know, and, you know, various, what you call it, the machines and whatever, you know, digital or, you know, they let them do that. But numbers should belong to the government, you see. And what we have in this country, right, is a laissez-faire government. We have a conservative government, you know, where the government doesn't do anything. They just privatize and everything and let the private sector, you know what I'm saying, give the private sector the economy and depend on them to employ us and do everything. You know, but my question is, why are the government bloating the public service? What are they doing? What is there left of the public service to do? You know, you remember when all the garbage men used to work for the government? Mm-hmm. You see, all the beaches and public mm-hmm. government workers.
Yes.
You see, so all of this privatization thing, yeah, that doesn't help us. That helps a few.
Yeah, you know what the privatization coming in saying? The same government officials switch around and get these companies. They see the money in the garbage collection and put the company in their name. And then the government, the taxpayers, pays them the company. And then it goes.
Right.
You understand? That's how the increase gets. That's what these are. Renting apartment, right. Renting buildings and stuff like that. You're the government. Why are you renting buildings? If you're the government, you're supposed to build buildings so you don't have to be renting. I don't understand. And we're giving out millions and millions and millions, but we could build our buildings. We have old buildings that can be refurnished, reinsured, and keep it maintained. We won't have this problem with renting buildings. So all that's a part of double dipping and getting the money in the politician's hand or the treasury.
You know, I have a different respect for Rich Fox. I respect Rich Fox. You know why?
Yes, sir.
Rich Fox didn't make his money off the government
or the people.
He made his money from the NBA.
Movies. And good investment.
And then real estate investment.
Yes.
See, them number men, they make their money from us and then go around and reinvest in real estate.
Yes.
That's what it, you understand what I'm
yes.
saying?
Yes.
You know? And I didn't get all the details on what Rich Fox said he's going to do. He said he's not going to collect any salary.
No, he's not going to collect any salary. And he's going to put $10 million down. $10 million he's going to put down to help improve the community. And that's just a part of it.
And he's going to build facilities in its community.
Ambulance.
Not no parks and things where these people got to go. You know what I mean? With proper coaches and the like, with pools and baseball fields and box. You know what I'm saying?
Ambulance and fire.
With coaches.
Yes.
That's, you know what I'm saying? That's a real, what you call it, consistency.
These things I've been pushing for. You know, I've been talking about these things. So I'm glad that it's in the ears of these politicians. That's how you make change. That's
You see, like you're spending beaches and parks, right?
Yeah.
Come on now. You can imagine how many gymnasiums they get a bill and pools, that kind of money.
Well, you gotta give the party supporters contracts in order for them to support you. That's where the money goes. That's where the money went. All the guys you see on the road cleaning up and painting the streets wall and that's where the money go. That's beaches and park. But they giving it to poisons on the streets and stuff like that. Contracts to keep the government motor going so they can get support for the general election. That's how it go. You know, that's why it's so high. You know, they employ, Beaches and Park employ thousands of people in this country. So it's used as a mechanism to empower people, but also used as a mechanism to empower the party's people so that they can get workers to vote for the government to say the government is doing a good job. You know, that's how it go. You know? It's a sad situation. They're helping people get contracts feeding their family, but sometimes the contract continues goes to one or two individuals of that party, and the money does not trickle down the way it's supposed to trickle down. So it can be a good thing, but it also can be a liability. Okay? I just hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. We talked the real story, and I appreciate each and every one of you who listen to Inside the Inner City. And listen, I'm a highly intelligent guy, and I can tell you exactly what is going on. You know, when they speak about things, I know how they got their money. They get their money by either doing good to the companies that come here to invest in the country, helping them with the customs, lower customs, immigration, getting their documents sorted out, probably even giving them citizenship. No, I forget about this part. They might even get their passport, permanent residency, might be a part of it as well. So you never know. Maybe some of these expats who get these BAME passport, maybe some of them came with these companies years ago, and that was part of the deal. So you know, we might get a little for, you know, I'm just saying, you got to think about it. That's what's happening. So I hope you enjoy the show. See you guys next week on Inside Inner City. God bless. Bless up my friend Elroy and to everyone. Enjoy your night and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I
now saw Bahamas, big up me condo. Boy, I from the condo.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Bitan, bro.
Boy, I from Bitan, bro.
In town, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in.